Hello out there in podcast land, and welcome back to Spoilers, your weekly movie review podcast. I am your host, Hollywood, joined by my two guests, Adam.
Yo.
And a triumphant return to the show, Cowboy.
What? Come on now. I love it. Welcome back, me.
Yes, Cowboy, welcome back. We're the show where we have lots of opinions, but zero credentials. This week, we are reviewing 2012's Pitch Perfect, a movie that I recommended.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to that, top of the hour, we have to get the movie news down.
Oh, we got movie news.
So for those new listeners, I just go over the movie news of the what's happened this
Danny,
week.
I got a little something to throw in there. I heard today that there's a lot of celebrities that are getting split up. Like Clint Eastwood just split up with his wife from 17 years. They're split up now.
Oh, like the 30-year-old chick?
Yeah, they're split up now.
I didn't see that coming.
What movie is that going to be in?
I don't know.
Oh, it's not movie related.
Oh, we don't. We don't do that kind of news.
They're actors.
We don't do the E news.
Oh, okay. Clint Eastwood is an actor.
Mm-hmm. Director, that's what I heard.
Yeah, that too. Whatever. Come on, Gran Turismo. He was in it.
Torino?
That too.
Gran Turismo is a racing game.
I love that.
Gran Turismo, the movie, starring Clint Eastwood. Oh,
I love that musical.
That would be interesting.
You better get out of my goddamn way. I'll run your ass over. And watch for the spoilers. Can I get a bottle of NOS?
First bit of news. If you haven't heard about this by now, you're probably living under a rock.
Mm-hmm.
Academy Award winning writer and producer Ben Affleck has been confirmed to play Batman in 2015 Superman versus Batman.
What? I didn't hear anything about that.
Who's Ben Affleck?
Oh, wait.
Who's Batman?
I think we had a discussion about this the other day.
The Twitter world exploded when the news broke, with some creating a hashtag entitled hashtag better than Affleck. People would tweet in with their suggestions of who would be a better Batman. So people would say
Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory.
No, they were saying like
no, that was mine.
Some highlights were the dog from Air Bud.
Oh, yeah.
Better than Affleck.
That's just rude.
Who else? Oh, Manti Te'o's girlfriend.
Okay.
Better than Ben Affleck.
Relaya Tuasosopo.
There you go. That's her name.
Yes.
So all this.
He followed it
very
much.
These whole couple weeks, I've just been reporting, studios thinking of Ryan Gosling, and then Nolan wants this guy, and then out of nowhere Affleck gets picked.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that casting news? And are people judging too harshly on Affleck, even though one frame has yet to been shot?
Absolutely. And this is something we talked about on the podcast before already briefly. Everybody had the same kind of reviews and notions about Heath Ledger when he was going to be the Joker. Nobody saw anything about it, and they just thought that it's going to be bad for no reason. He was a Brokeback Mountain. How could he be Joker? Or stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
He was Argo. Are you serious? Okay, maybe that's part of the serious part of Bruce Wayne. But then he's in like Chasing Amy, all those other weird movies that have nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then nobody really liked Daredevil. So that's kind of not going to go well for him. I don't care, really. I mean, I'm going to watch it either way, just like most of these big budget movies. You're going to watch them regardless.
Yeah.
I think he's getting way too much flack.
And the nerds will still watch it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Whether they're in a community or not.
Yeah.
Affleck is in FU mode right now, because after Armageddon, he was moving up.
Yeah.
And then with the whole Geely, Jersey Girl, the whole Jennifer Lopez, Ben Affleck situation, he disappeared and he went down. Like, he hit rock bottom, and now he's slowly coming back with The Town and Gone Baby Gone, and then Argo winning the Oscar for Best Picture. Like, he's in straight FU mode. Like, I'm going to prove you bitches wrong. I am Batman.
Yeah, I think he has the potential to do a good job, but I think really any actor does. I mean, it's just a role, really.
It's not really hard.
Yeah. I mean, unless you pick somebody that like you were talking Sheldon Cooper from Big Bang Theory, that's going to be
a tough sell there.
Yeah, a real tough sell.
Yeah.
But as long as you fit like the body type, I think, if you're an actor, especially an A-list actor, you should be able to do it.
Which is why they decided not to go back with Val Kilmer.
Yeah, well, he's also...
he wouldn't fit in the suit.
Right, exactly.
He doesn't have the body type.
Yeah. Michael Keaton endorses him. Michael Keaton said, I support Ben Affleck as Batman.
Now, has Ben Affleck said anything about this yet? He's keeping his mouth shut?
Well, his PR people have said, just keep quiet.
Okay.
Don't say anything. Don't piss them off even more.
Right. Anything you say is just going to be ammunition for like, see, I told you. He said, what, like, eh?
Like, who doesn't care about Batman?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, what a dick.
Yeah.
Go talk to your buddy Matt Damon.
Matt Damon.
No, I think
greatest actor ever.
It'll be fine. It'll be good enough.
I love it, dude. I love Affleck. Even when Affleck's career was going down, I still supported him. I love Ben Affleck.
Even Forces of Nature with Sandra Bullock. He was some weird.
I like Affleck, dude.
Yeah.
He's no Kurt Russell, but he's good. He's good.
Who's Kurt Russell?
Come on.
He's Gabriel Cash.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, come on. I know that.
This was actually announced today. Marvel has officially announced that James Spader will play the villain Ultron in Marvel's The Avengers 2 Rise of Ultron. Mm. Spader, an unlikely candidate, gained a brief resurgence in his career by portraying Robert California in The Office. Thoughts?
Robert California freaked me out. it was a very weird role because I recognized the guy. I didn't know his name. I recognized him from a bunch of stuff. And then when he was playing it, it just... He was... To me, he seemed like an A-list actor playing a role that he shouldn't be playing. Like, this role was, like, way out of character. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
But then I guess you get, like, Alec Baldwin doing 30 Rock, and it's, like, a huge guy doing a... But he did an amazing job. I wasn't freaked out by Alec Baldwin. But, yeah, Robert California, there was so much about him that weirded me out. He's going to play which guy in The Avengers? The villain?
Do you know who the character Ultron is?
I have no idea.
He's a cyborg created by a Marvel character, Hank Pym, Giant Man.
Okay.
And he creates him to be his artificial son. So essentially Spader is going to be his voice.
Oh, okay.
Because it's a cyborg robot. So I'm guessing Spader is going to be voice only.
Okay. I could see he's as far as voice goes, I'm sure he'll be able to do a good job there.
Yeah.
His voice has enough like range to it that it can make you feel things without even knowing you're feeling them type of thing. Maybe that's just the vibe I got from the California. Yeah, he's like too powerful.
Yeah.
Too much power behind that man.
But Spader, like, he was big in the 80s. He was in all those, like, teen romantic comedy movies.
Right.
And then he was in, what was the Boston show? Boston Legal?
Oh, okay.
He was in that for a little bit.
I think that's probably where I recognize him most from then, yeah.
But,
that should be fine.
But as Ultra, that's just another weird.
Like it?
No, it's cool. It's just, another out of left field choice.
Okay.
Or I'm like, really? Like James Spader? Like of all the people you pick, it's like James Spader. Okay.
Have you heard anything about Bryan Cranston playing Lex Luthor? I heard
he's still denying it.
He's denying
it. That's who people
heard
want
about it. Yes, absolutely. Especially because of Breaking Bad. He's just such a badass. Oh my god.
Because he's bald.
Yeah, he's bald. It helps. Well, he's got hair now, but during the show. Doesn't matter.
I still haven't seen Breaking Bad.
Oh my god, this is an outrage.
And I haven't seen Mad Men.
Oh, that's fine.
I haven't seen Sons of Anarchy. I haven't seen Game of Thrones. Okay. I haven't seen The Newsroom. I haven't seen Girls. All these popular shows I hear about, I don't know anything about them. It's not that I don't have interest, it's just I don't have time.
Too busy watching movies?
Yeah. I'm too busy watching Pitch Perfect.
All right. Well, out of all of those, Breaking Bad first.
Yeah, that's what everybody's telling me. Yeah. They say Breaking Bad first.
Mm-mm-mm.
Last bit of new news that I have, the Sci-Fi Channel, or Sci-Fi, has announced that they are bringing a television adaptation of the film 12 Monkeys to their channel.
Wow.
12 Monkeys has gained cult status recently, and Sci-Fi plans on producing 12 episodes for the first season set to debut within the next year. Do we really need more 12 Monkeys in our lives? Well, Adam, I know we do because it's Bruce Willis.
We need more Bruce Willis in our lives.
But I don't think Bruce Willis will be in the show.
Well, then screw it. That's an interesting concept, and that could work because of the time travel aspect.
You can do anything with it.
Yeah, you can go to any point to try to stop different things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't stop the 12 Monkeys storyline, because that was a specific storyline about the 12 Monkey gang. But you can still kind of have the concept of going back to stop things that were going to bring down the world.
Mm-hmm.
That could be interesting. I could totally see, at least watching the first two episodes. to like weird me out.
The only thing I don't like about this is that it's on Sci-Fi.
Okay.
And Sci-Fi makes like Sharknado. They make all those shitty movies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they also make reality shows like Face Off and.
Okay.
So it's like how much quality is the show going to be?
Yeah.
If it's on Sci-Fi.
Well, my show's over here running the boards for us and he's freaking out. I'm assuming because of the time travel aspect of it. Yeah. I hate time travel for the most part, and it's been made very clear. But for something like this, I think I'm playing the Bruce Willis card. I'm giving it a pass just because it had a Bruce Willis association at one point. So I'm going to give it more credit than anything else, even though Looper had Bruce Willis in it also. Yes, I understand. But still, that's my comeback for that. Yeah, but still.
You know, they're coming out with Loopers 2 and it's not going to have Bruce Willis in it. You still going to like it?
No.
Freaking hypocrite.
Doesn't even make sense. Doesn't even make sense.
No, but it's good. The first one had Bruce Willis in it.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Twice.
Yeah. Young and old.
Yeah, man.
Double the Willis. Double the fun.
Well, that's pretty much that's pretty much on the news. It was a night light news week.
Yep.
Now we're on to the main event, fellas. The movie I've been waiting when we started this podcast.
Wow.
The first movie I wanted us to do. No, maybe not the first movie, but the movie I wanted us to watch at some point.
That might be tough out the gate.
Was Pitch Perfect. Yeah. It's tough out the gate. We got to set the tone for this.
Right.
We've had a few episodes under our belt to get this underway.
Yeah.
All right. Here's our dream. Here's my dream. Okay. Show. Pitch Perfect. Directed by Jason Moore, starring Anna Kendrick, Rebel Wilson, Skylar Austin, Brittany Snow, Anna Camp, and Adam Devine, and a bunch of other very talented singers and dancers. Adam, what is Pitch Perfect about?
Pitch Perfect is about a college that is very a cappella driven. A cappella is the USC Trojans of the school. It's like all they really care about is a cappella. And it's about different clubs within the same college competing in a cappella competitions.
Right.
So they're going to do their own little dramas about getting the clubs together, getting their sound, figuring out what they want to do, and then eventually going to competition. And the goal is to win, I think it was nationals or something. And
Lincoln.
Yeah, it's pretty much
go to Lincoln.
It's a bunch of a cappella groups battling and then eventually trying to win the coveted prize of all prizes.
The collegiate a cappella competition.
Yeah.
And that's about it. A lot of singing, a lot of
dancing.
Dancing, yeah.
A lot of comedy.
Oh, lots of comedy.
Yeah, those comedy.
Yes.
So, what do you want to do with this episode? Do you want to just go break it down by the story? Want to start off it that way, or do you just want to talk about whatever you want?
The first thing I want to talk about.
Here we go.
Good God, we had to leave it up to Adam.
The notion that a cappella is this big anywhere on the planet, where they are pretty much rock stars, and like I was mentioning, they're like the Trojans of USC, where they're like the gods of the campus. I cannot buy that notion for a second. I don't care if this was in Ohio or wherever the hell it was. If singing is that important and it has that much of a cult following, then why doesn't every singer on the planet go there? Why are they all coming to LA or going to New York?
Well, let me just kick your ass on that one.
Please.
Because this college, it wasn't about a cappella.
What? Are you sure?
Yes. There was only four a cappella groups on the whole college campus.
Right. But they ran the campus.
But one of them is the most dominant a cappella team in the whole nation, apparently.
Exactly. In the a cappella world. But you saw the courtyard where the four a cappella people are. That wasn't the whole freaking campus of the college. I'm sure the college had... Okay, if you're going to make a movie based on the a cappella genre and this format and everything, why are you going to show football teams, baseball teams, and all the other stuff that has nothing to do with a cappella? This was an a cappella movie.
Agreed.
So they didn't make it as this is the freaking the greatest thing in the world and a cappella's taken over. It was just a movie about the a cappella groups in college.
And Adam, I don't mean to cut you off, but let me give you a little history about this.
Oh, okay, please. Cool.
Pitch Perfect is based on a book written by a writer from GQ, and he was assigned to follow there is an actual Barton University, but I don't think he went to this school.
Okay.
He followed an a cappella group somewhere in the South or Midwest somewhere, and how they went on competition on the road and how they would sell out all these places. So a lot of what you're seeing in Pitch Perfect is based on a book that actually happened that this GQ writer witnessed firsthand. So this exists somewhere in the country.
And not only that, but there was, not last year, but 2 years ago, there was a TV show, sort of like America's Got Talent, The Voice or whatever. It was called Sing Off, and it was all a cappella groups. And there's a very really great group that won it. I actually watched the whole show.
Was it Rockapella?
No, it was a cappella. No,
oh, that's Carmen San Diego.
That's
right.
Where in the world the hell are you? Anyway, the group that won that competition was the Pentatonics. Five people in that group, and most a cappella groups consist of lot more than five people. Yeah.
Wow.
Put impressive. A link on there to one of the shows or episodes that had Pentatonics on there. These guys freaking blew everybody out of the water with just five people. One girl and four guys.
That's impressive.
They had a bass. And you know, I'm sorry, not to be prejudiced, but the black guy in the group was not the bass.
Oh, wow. I was even going there.
It was the short white guy with the beard.
Oh. See,
the black guy is an amazing, I can't remember their name, so I'm sorry if I'm referring to it as the black guy in the group, but anyway, he was just the most amazing beatboxer.
Okay.
Just phenomenal.
All right. Well, as long as I'm not being prejudiced about it.
I'm not.
Okay.
I didn't say he was one of the blacks, did I?
Wow.
Okay, thanks.
That'd
bye.
Be outrageous.
Unless you had Community.
Right.
So anyway, but acapella is big in their own little genre. I mean, it's not like football big, but
it seemed like it. It sure, they sure sold.
Well, you're watching a movie about acapella groups.
Yes, but even if you're watching the movie, you got to understand. You can't. Well, okay. I guess the problem that I'm coming down to really having is this tried to exist in my world. As it didn't, and that's my complaint with everything else. I understood it's big,
mm-hmm.
not that big.
Well, this college, it looks like a little liberal arts college.
Yeah,
most of those little colleges don't have, you know, sports teams. So
yeah,
I'm guessing acapella is kind of their thing.
I guess so, but it was too big. It got too much attention for even if it was on the fringe of the college campus type mm-hmm. of thing. Everybody talked about it like it was the thing to follow, and maybe we're only following the acapella community. But it just like, it was like, what, a career day or club day or
oh, activities.
Yeah. Some activities day, and everyone was like, oh my God, acapella, look at those guys. Oh my God, look at them. I didn't see, not even passing in the background, a Canadian cross of somebody in like a football getup walking by or anything. There's no real, it was too much. It was too much on the acapella. It was too much focused on that. Where nothing else existed but that, and I couldn't get past it.
So let's just start from the beginning.
All right.
It's the Nationals from the previous year.
Oh, right.
We're introduced to the Troublemakers.
The Nationals or the Finals? It was the Finals.
No, that was the Nationals. That was the big one.
In Lincoln.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The sure. Nationals.
Right.
So we're introduced to the Troublemakers.
Great opening scene.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
They're doing Rihanna's, I forgot the name of the song. It's the I Wanna Take You Away.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
So they're doing their thing. And then we're also introduced to the Bellas.
Right.
And the blonde chick. What's her name?
I don't know. She's taking over the lead vocals at one point.
Yeah, her and the redhead. Mm-hmm. I forgot her name too. They're taking over the team for the next year. Right off the bat, the Troublemakers and the Bellas hate each other.
Right.
Hate each other.
It's the Sharks and the Jets.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So the Bellas go out to perform and the blonde is doing her solo, and she throws up, costing her team Nationals.
Well, to say throw up is putting it mildly.
She projectile vomited.
It was like somebody knocked...
It was like The Exorcist.
It went into the third row, for God's sake.
Yeah, like somebody like knocked off the end of one of those fire hydrants and just like squirted it out and destroyed everybody.
Besides the awesome singing, because it was freaking phenomenal in this movie, the commentators up in the booth during all the shows, their comments and phrases and how they... Oh my gosh, I was busting up every time they were talking.
It was Elizabeth Banks, the comedian guy. I forgot his name.
Yeah, I recognized him. I recognized them both very well. I don't know their names. But that was one of the first things they noticed that carried on through the entire movie is a lot of snarky comments.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Everybody was making them. Everybody was making a bunch of comments. They were like, just like, wow, like that's overtly rude, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Which is like, but there's a lot of that. Like a lot of people had a lot of comebacks. So a lot of wit in this movie.
A lot of wit.
Comebacks.
Yes. So
so she projectile vomits all over the place, like, and it was like, I can't imagine somebody of her stature eating enough food to warrant that much vomit. And the whole vomiting thing comes back later on in the movie as well.
Yeah,
which
I think they could have left that
they
out.
They could have left that out completely.
Although it was pretty funny to see the Asian girl doing vomit angels.
Disagree.
I thought it was like,
yeah, there's no place for that. Later on,
I understand.
Yeah, the same girl eventually ends up throwing up again during a rehearsal type of thing. And
at the end of the movie,
yeah. Towards the end of the movie. And it's all over the floor. And at one point, a chick gets knocked down and she's laying in the vomit, just kind of chilling. And then decides she's going to do vomit angels.
Like snow angels, but in vomit. But the gripe I have about that scene, and I know we're probably jumping around, and I think I might jump on your toes here. We talked about
it a
little
jump.
Bit.
Let's just talk about whatever you want.
Is a few... Not even a few minutes, but a few seconds later in that same scene, the girl who was doing the vomit angels stands up, somebody wipes her back off with a towel, and the next scene, not even the next scene, but just a couple seconds in that scene, you see her back, she's all perfectly clean, dry, and the type of vomit she was in. There's no way.
Yeah.
There's no way she'd be clean.
After a cowboy brought that up to me, it reminded me of Last Action Hero where he went in the tar.
he's clean in like 10 seconds.
Most people, tar sticks to them. Wow. It's the same kind of concept. Maybe she doesn't stick to vomit.
Yeah, maybe. Or I'm rubber, your vomit, or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
This is the movie world.
Right, exactly.
Of Pitch Perfect where
right.
you get clean instantly. Let's talk about Rebel Wilson.
Rebel Wilson, who's that one?
Fat Amy.
Fat Amy.
The star of the movie.
Her name is Fat Patricia. They cleared it up at the end. Her real name is Fat Patricia.
Did you like her in this movie? Did you like her humor?
Some of it, yes. I would have to say some of it, yes. Some of it was a little, not over the top, but just like, really?
I did enjoy all of her lines, I think. I think as a character, she is what the movie needed for comic relief.
Mm-hmm.
She was the one part of the movie that lived in the movie world and not in my world, though. I can't imagine a girl like that existing in my world because she's too funny, she's too witty, but at the same time is being chased by a bunch of dudes, apparently. And just kind of, it's like her personality type should have taken over the group, but it didn't. It just kind of stayed in the middle. So that's where it kind of like the reality didn't set in for me too well. But she had a lot of funny lines,
Yeah, the best one is in the beginning where they go, "Everyone, why do they call you Fat line. Amy?" And she's like, "So skinny bitches like you don't call it behind my back."
Right.
You know, it's like, it reminds you of the freaking movie, 8 Mile, you know, at the end where he starts talking shit about all his friends so that the guy can't talk shit about him.
Mm-hmm. It's like, real name's Clarence.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it was perfect, you know, like I might start calling myself a bad name so you guys don't talk about me behind my back.
Cowboy.
Damn it.
My favorite. Fat Amy line, and it's so simple. It's just the way she says it, and the way it's delivery. It, to this day, it still makes me laugh. It's the scene. It's right around the vomit scene where the blonde she goes, "I am my father's daughter," and he always said, "If at first you don't succeed, pack your bags." And Fat Amy just goes, "Jesus!" Like the way she says that. To this day, I still crack up whenever I hear that line.
Okay,
like I just love that her reaction for that.
My favorite line is from that same scene, actually, is, and I want to come back to this later, the Asian chick that was doing the snow angels.
Yes.
The vomit angels. Throughout the entire movie, she never speaks above like 2 decibels.
Yes.
Constantly just, you don't know what she's saying. She's mouthing words, obviously, but you don't know what the hell she's saying. And then at one point in that scene, she's like, "I have an idea of something that we can use," talking plain and normal. And then he was like, "Damn, bitch, you don't need to yell." the timing of it was perfect. But she had a lot of good lines, though. She was, as far as the comedy aspect of the movie goes, she was it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was
amazing. I would definitely have to say that.
Yeah.
But the nice thing about this movie is you had that comedy person. You had that person. You actually had two people that you couldn't stand. And then you had the people you were rooting for and stuff like I would have to categorize it as your typical feel good, they win in the end type movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like Stomp the Yard, Drumline.
It did follow the formula for this type of movie, to the letter.
But I would say it's a lot more entertaining than Center Stage or...
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, exactly. See?
I feel like I've already seen all those movies by watching this one.
Yeah, well, you pretty much did.
You get the gist of it.
The day after I watched it, I saw a preview of a new movie that's coming out. It's like the same thing, but it's about breakdancing.
Okay.
It's like, okay, let's just find every type of sport or competition and make the same freaking movie about it, but just a different competition.
Right. Like,
started with Karate Kid.
What? Mm. Karate Kid?
Karate Kid.
No, not even.
Hoosiers was before that.
That too.
Oh, geez. That's...
That was the football, right?
Basketball.
I don't even put that in the genre.
I'm thinking of Rudy. Sorry.
It's Rudy, yeah.
No, see, that's not even in the genre to me. That's a different kind of movie. I mean, maybe the formulas are similar, but this specific formula was like, you just got served, or the cheerleader won.
Exactly, Karate Kid, it's all karate. He gets picked on and blah, blah, blah. And at the end, he learns karate and he becomes the... freaking crane technique this is the unblockable move. Really? Come on.
But that's about fighting, something people actually want to watch on a regular basis.
Karate.
Yes, it's fighting.
Yeah.
Okay, fighting. Okay. It's mainstream.
Ong Bak?
Acapella?
You did not like.
Hitting the drums?
I love Ong Bak.
That's not mainstream. Karate is something anybody can get behind. Whether you like it or not, it's part of your life type of thing.
But you didn't like Ong Bak.
That's a Hanson song. I like a Hanson. No?
There's fighting in it. Everybody like loves fighting movie. Already. I love that. Yeah, everybody loves fighting.
Adam, yeah. What was your turnoff moment? Was there one?
I actually did not have one.
Really?
I did not have one.
Holy shit.
Because I was... Nothing was outrageous enough to the point that it made me turn it off. And if it was outrageous enough, like the vomit scene would have been my turn off moment. But I was already hooked. Like I had to watch it. Yeah. Even though that movie was like, that scene where the vomit all over and the vomit angel is like, I'm done. I need to see how it finishes. I was already sold on it. There's a lot of little things that were like, that bugs me. But it wasn't enough to be like,
what? There was no time travel in the movie, so it was great. There's nothing to argue there.
Yeah, I did not have one in this movie. And I feel weird about that. Because, I mean, nothing was so overtly bad that it made me want to feel that way until I was already sold on the premise of it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I want to get back to that Asian chick. The Asian chick that was very quiet. She, from the beginning of the movie, she doesn't say a word, or she mumbles, she's very quiet.
Very soft spoken.
So this character is flawed to me in almost every way possible to be in this movie.
Yeah.
Because if she's that soft spoken, that much of a outcast, then why would she be trying out for this thing at all?
I will tell you. Because at the beginning of the movie, they couldn't get anybody to join the Barden Bellas.
Right.
Because of the whole controversy of her throwing up. Nobody wanted to.
Understood.
That's why they had to take Fat Amy, because they needed 10 people.
Yes, agreed.
So they were taking anybody. Basically, if you watched the movie, when you watch the movie, there's tryouts.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, the Barton Bellas get all the riffraff except for the main person, which is Becca, because she couldn't go on the Troublemakers because she's a girl. So
right.
The Barton Bellas basically got the leftover.
Understood.
People.
Great.
And
I buy that concept.
They just needed 10 people. And during rehearsals, they're like, I can't even hear you. So basically, she was just filling a spot on stage.
Okay. No.
Until the end.
Great point. However, would she even go to tryouts? This chick is so crazy and so like wanting to be not part of this world.
Why would she
get on stage in the first place?
Why would you say she's crazy? Just because she's soft spoken?
She does not, she can't even freaking speak. She's going to try out for singing?
Maybe
that doesn't make sense at all.
Wanted to try and find some place where she fit in. And by the end of the movie, she's like,
people that make loud noises all the time.
No. Here's
the thing.
Here's the thing though. You watch the movie at the end. The point that you're saying, the part that you liked, Fat Amy's.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which you find she your goes, voice?
I think I have something that would be great for us.
Yeah.
Along those lines.
Yeah, she's a beatboxing
chick.
She's
a freaking beatboxing chick.
Right.
She just had to break out of her shell, dude. Adam, you just need to let people break out of them shells. Okay.
Yes, but they will break out on their own accord. They will not.
And they did. At the end.
But
she still pisses you off for some reason.
Because why? What was she doing at the tryouts?
She wanted to beatbox eventually.
Okay. No, I don't buy it.
She only started beatboxing because she heard the Indian guy start beatboxing on the bus.
Yeah.
That's true. That was like there was a little love interest there that didn't go anywhere, which I feel like it probably should have, but
yeah.
Still.
Well, maybe there's going to be a 2.
Oh, you know there's a fucking 2.
Pitch Perfect 2.
Summer 2015.
Pitch Perfect there?
It's going head to head against Terminator 5, Pirates 5. Superman, Batman, all that same summer.
And you're going to be in line for Pitch Perfect.
Absolutely. That's right. Before anything else.
Yeah, no, I don't buy the concept that she was there. I don't buy the concept that she had anything to contribute. She didn't. She was just there to be there. Like, she's trying to make friends. But I guess it's a weird way to reach out into a club that is specifically about making noise with your vocal cords. And she's like, I'll join that one instead of joining the deaf Jews or whatever.
She might fit in there.
She might fit in better there with the deaf Jews. Cause I mean, they can still hear what she, or see what she's saying from her mouth. That was another joke earlier at the thing. The main girl, Becca, she's a DJ of sorts where she makes her own music.
Mm-hmm.
So she's making her own mashups of different songs together and whatever.
EDM.
Yeah. Okay. And so she's walking around, she sees a big sign, says DJ. She's like, oh yeah, I want to do the DJ stuff. And it turns out it's about deaf Jews is what it's about. I'm like, all right, that's great.
And the guy goes, Shom! And she goes, that's not a real word. And she tries to say it all loud so they can hear her.
Yeah. Another great Fat Amy line.
What did you think of Benji? The roommate, I'm also into close-up magic. What did you think of him?
Yeah, that guy was weird. And also, him along with the Asian chick, I think were the most, like, caricatures of whatever they were supposed to be part of.
Uh-huh.
I know everybody's trying to play some sort of role. They're trying to get in some sort of stereotype type of thing. But him and the Asian girl were just like so much, so exaggerated uh-huh. of what a dorky nerd guy is.
He has Star Wars on his wall.
The whole wall
toys.
Is a Star Wars montage. He's got like a, what do you call that thing?
The decal, like the...
No, where you make a shrine? Homage, a shrine. Yeah. Yes, yeah. A shrine. He has a shrine. That's the first impression you want to make to your roommate? I got a Star Wars shrine? Like, you got to ease him into that.
No. But then he says Star Wars shrine, but I do magic.
Yeah, the close-up magic.
How long was that hamster in there? 3 days.
Several days,
yeah.
Another line I like from him is when they're walking through the activities fair and like the frat boys are like, they say something like, "Where you don't want to get in trouble, you got to not join us," or something like that. Yeah. And he goes, "That's a double negative." And he goes, "That's a lot of negatives."
Yeah. Oh, that was another thing. Walking. First of all, the main dude,
Jesse.
Yeah, he reminded me too much of Dane Cook. His look was very Dane Cooky to me. That I couldn't get past it for a little while. Like, what is Dane Cook doing in this movie? And there's one when it's first discovered that he can sing, I thought it was a joke. I thought he was making a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Where they're walking up. Oh, that's the treble group. What's it called?
Troublemakers.
The Troublemakers. And like. And he asked the guy, "Can you sing?" And he starts singing.
You both out here to have a soul, let it whip. It's so perfect. A Broadway singer.
Right. But as soon as he started singing, I was expecting him to make fun of him for even pretending like, really? You want an acapella? I was like, "Oh, it's the stupidest thing on the planet." That's what I was expecting him to say. And I was like, "No, he's serious. That's weird." it was a lot of the whole acapella hype that like, you came to the school just for acapella. It bumped me.
Uh-huh.
But, he's got a great voice. You can't deny that. There's a lot of great voices in this whole movie that it's impressive. It's very impressive.
Yes.
My favorite voice is that black chick.
Okay.
She's my favorite voice of them because she had the very like bellowing, like John Popper just bellowing sound.
Very commanding and
You know, there were some of the songs that the Bellas performed and stuff like that where Fat Amy had the lead and stuff like that. She didn't sound too good in some of those parts.
Yeah.
Like, I think... She's not a good singer. No, like, when she was actually doing the, then hit this pitch, blah, 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 when she was in front of the Bellas, the match pitch or whatever, she did really good. But when she, you know, in that one performance where she started ripping her clothes off and stuff like that, you know, and going crazy and being Fat Amy, it didn't sound good. To me, it didn't sound good.
I think it's easy to say that because you're surrounded by a bunch of people that sound amazing. I think if you heard her by herself, you'd be like, "Oh, that sounds good." But now, compared to everyone else, it's like, "Whoa, I could never do that."
Yeah, it's like I don't know if you guys saw Les Mis.
Yes, love it.
Oh well, in Les Mis, Russell Crowe is like an okay singer,
right?
But when you stick him next to like Anne Hathaway and Hugh Jackman, it sucks compared to them. Right. So that's kind of how that's how it is with Fat Amy.
Yeah, but I love that movie because they actually sung all that stuff live as they were filming it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I love. Okay, we'll do that for another time.
I do have one problem with this movie. My baby. There's something in the timeline, in the storyline that I want to get your opinion, your take on this.
Okay.
So it's... The movie opens up with the previous year's nationals.
Yes.
So both the Troublemakers and the Bellas are in the nationals.
Yes.
And then we're seeing as the movie progresses, you have to win different, like, I guess, regions to advance to get to the nationals.
Yes.
So it's established in the beginning that they're going to sing that song, the song the Bellas always do.
Yeah, the same song they always do.
Oh.
I saw the sign.
Yeah, that one.
Open.
So it's that song. Okay.
I didn't know the next verse, but go. No, I'm just kidding.
So
I was happy now.
All right. So this means that they've made it all the way to the finals with that song or music that's like that.
Right.
But then the following year, they can't even get past like the regional tournament.
Okay.
How is that possible? If the previous year you had the same sound and tone that got you to the finals, mm-hmm. how is it now you're using the same sound?
The
and you
regionals,
can't even get past the...
if I remember this correctly, they got through one section and they got to the regionals right before the nationals, and they didn't make it.
Yeah, they lost to the
footsteppers or something like that.
Yeah, the footsteppers.
The guys from JFK.
Yeah, but the lead singer of that was not in college.
Right. Oh, yeah. That's,
so they ended up getting disqualified. And since the Bellas came in third, they kind of got bumped up.
But how the fuck did you get to the finals last year? And well, how do you make it through the next year? Well, because the same.
Well, because last year they had a group of good singers. This year they got a bunch of misfits that can't do a goddamn thing.
Well, and not only that, but in the regional one, Becca kind of threw everybody rogue. For a loop. And
yeah,
she rogue.
Did. Yeah,
and Maverick.
Kind of did a mashup without letting them know, uh-huh. which I think that mashup would have worked phenomenal. Mm-hmm. And I think it did end up working, but the girls were all mad because they're like, you should have just let us know.
Only that main bitch was mad. Yeah. Everyone else was fine with it.
Yeah, but they,
just the projectile bomber didn't
but,
like
but, no, but nobody wanted to step up and confront the main girl of the Bellas.
Right.
Until after she vomited.
After the vomit angels.
And then they were just like, yeah. Fuck you, we need Becca.
See, and that upsets me that the turning point is the vomit angel scene. That upsets me because that scene should not have been there. You could have gotten to that same place without having a chick doing vomit angels. That's disgusting. God. I don't like vomit. I really don't.
Speak of the scene yeah. where they, with the, where Bella goes rogue, Becca goes rogue.
Yeah.
And she does her own mashup.
Yeah.
All right. Don't laugh.
Uh-oh.
I have the soundtrack on my phone.
As the, I mean,
we just downloaded the soundtrack on the computer.
Really?
Yeah. We
downloaded it. So in the soundtrack, it's the song that the Bellas sing that I saw the sign.
Yeah, it's a bass.
So what I try to do is I try to do Becca's mashup. So I try to, in the car, I try to go, this time, baby, I'll be. And I can't get it.
Bulletproof.
I can't get the timing down.
No?
I can't.
Well, she probably sings it as a different cadence, so it's like a different
that's
speed.
True.
She probably
because
a lot of those songs you have to speed up or slow down. Because every song has a certain it was BPM beats per minute.
Yeah,
they have to speed it up or slow it down in order for the mashups to work at all.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there was the best example I have of this is this was last year. There was that K Dollar Sign Ha song, also known as Keisha. She has she had that song TikTok.
That's what you call her?
That's how she puts her name.
That's spelled.
I know, but that's
K dollar sign ha. I got it.
She had that TikTok song. At the same time, Miley Cyrus had a song, and also I think Katy Perry had a song. Mm-hmm. It was all the same exact song. If you speed one up a little bit, slow one down a little bit, and put it together, it's the same beat throughout the entire mm-hmm. song. And you hear it through your speakers. On the right speaker is this voice, left speaker is this song, and the center is this main one, and it's all the same freaking beat. But you have to speed it up and slow it down just slightly for it to register.
It sounds like an old Vanilla Ice thing, you know, when he got sued by Queen. No, mine was bum, 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 ba, ba, bum, bum.
Yeah, bum, 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 bum.
Yeah.
Or something
like that. No, it's got an extra
stupid
beat
interview.
In there.
Yeah.
But so I think it's possible to mash up any song if you really wanted to. That's why they can do slow songs with fast songs.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. Check out Pentatonix. They mash up songs freaking phenomenally. Right.
Mashups are great. In fact, there was the
Talking Glee? Are we talking Glee?
Oh, no, yeah. Oh. Fantastic. Those mashups
Umbrella
are amazing.
And Singing in the Rain.
Hey!
High five.
That's my favorite mashup.
Oh my God.
Phenomenal.
We're spiking out the levels here. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Getting a lot of yelling.
Where's this show turning?
Glee. You brought this up.
Hey, this was yours.
I brought this upon myself.
Okay, one of my favorite scenes in the movie was, I can't remember what they called it, but
the
riff off, where they go into the pool, and that was just phenomenal.
That was great.
I loved that scene because,
girls are cut off.
It's unclear what the rules are of this game.
Apparently. Yeah,
but
apparently the rules are
you have to say word for word. You have to say word for word what the song is because the Bellas lose with the No Diggity because the guy, the fat kid from Fat Kid Saves the World, he says, sorry ladies, the word you said was it's.
Yeah.
Proper word should have been it. You are cut off.
Yeah. So, cause I guess whatever song that they're matching, it has to start with the same word. Is that possible?
Well, first they do the dial and it says songs about sex. And then they go, let's talk about sex, baby.
But I was trying to figure this out. I was really like delving into it because it was bothering the crap out of me. And the song that the guys were singing, it was something about, it had it in the title. And then the song that she brought
it
on.
It feels like the first time. Yeah.
And then she came back with Blackstreet. And the first word of that song is, it's going down.
Oh, it's going down.
Maybe.
There you go.
It's
okay.
It apostrophe S instead of it's.
You have, so whatever you're ending, whatever they're ending, you have to start it. Oh, okay.
So she came
that's
in with,
good.
It's going down, face Blackstreet. And that apostrophe is what fucked them. Now
I get that.
Now that I say it out loud, I figured it out.
Okay, cool.
that makes sense.
But they still won in my heart.
Yeah. I love the prize. a microphone sung by Hoobastank.
I like Hoobastank. I enjoy Hoobastank. I don't know the new stuff, but when they first came out, I was all about them. But anyway, yeah, the riff-off was amazing because it's going back and forth, and it was a lot of – that's when I think the Bellas first started getting into the vibe
groove,
of –
groove, yeah.
Maybe we can expand more than these 80s
songs.
See
how the Bellas got their groove back.
Did you like Adam Devine's character? He was Bumper, the head of the Troublemakers. I loved his little comments, like his little quips. Because I like Workaholics, and he's pretty much the same character in that show.
He was an okay character. He was too much in the mind frame of I'm a rock star. And again, this goes back to my argument about acapella is not that big. That you can have that much attitude and that much pride about what you are.
Didn't he get to, at the end of this movie, get to go off and sing with Justin Timberlake?
Adam Levine, I think it was.
No, he,
Maroon 5.
John Mayer.
John Mayer. There you go.
One of those dudes.
Samsonite.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. No, yeah. He's good. He's got a great voice in this movie. I can't imagine he sings like that in real life.
Yeah.
But he was too much of a douchebag. He was, for somebody that's like made their living off of this acapella group, this kind of puts you where you are to just easily be like, I'm out.
Yeah.
Real douchey. It was real bad.
Yeah.
But he did play the character well of that douchebag.
He was that character that you wanted to hate.
As long as you hated him, he did a good job.
All right. So I guess, he did a good job there. Because I did not like him at all. And one thing that bothered me about the movie, another thing that bothered me about the movie was the turn of phrase. Where everything was Akka stupid.
Akka awesome.
Akka
everything. This movie was Akka wonderful.
Yeah. Akka awkward bugged me so much.
Because he thinks it should just be Akka word.
Akka word. That's fine. Akka word.
It's too many negatives.
Sense. Akka awkward. Like, it's redundant. It's a redundant. You can't.
Yes.
No. That bothered me. Yeah, that was the moment when the whole Akka thing, it was done for me. Up until that point, I could get it. I understand acapella is your life, so you gotta Akka say something about every Akka goddamn thing that comes to your freaking Akka mind. But
what would you say about Akka octopus?
All right.
Shouldn't it just be Akka puss?
Akka tupus.
Akka tupus.
That's a weird one. you're thinking too much about this.
Hey, you brought it up, brother. I'm just thinking about every Akka word out there.
Because it is your lifestyle. I get it. Yeah. You have to Akka everything. But if you're that committed to it, then Akka word should just come off the tongue. It shouldn't be Akka awkward, because you're saying it so much, you should already know the transition between Akka and things that start with Akka already. Don't Akka it up. There's too much Akkas.
Here's the thing, though. You're reading too much into it. Because every Akka that they did in this movie, they just put Akka in front of the word that they were saying.
Like, yes.
Akka ridiculous. Akka fantastic.
Right.
Akka stupid. If you go Akka word, you're splicing the words. You're not just adding Akka in front of the word.
But that would be hilarious. Akka word. I mean, it's just kind of, it's kind of, you know, it adds on to it in a way. No? Maybe I'm just not in the Akka world enough. Akka world.
This is an Akka podcast.
Yeah. I did not like the Akkas.
No Akkas.
Two Akkas. Too many Akkas.
Too much Akkas.
Yeah.
I have a confession to make.
Uh-oh. You say that in real life?
I think, no. I really liked the Troublemakers' final performance way more than the Bellas' performance.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I love that. I love their performance. I think they should have won. Wouldn't that have been awesome if that was the curveball? Like, you think?
But that's against the formula.
I know.
that is way against the formula.
If you would have just seen, Troublemakers win it again.
Yeah. Well,
But it wouldn't have been the original Troublemakers. Because the main guy was gone.
That's true.
They got the magician in there.
But remember what he said? He goes, I won that shit like 100 times.
Yeah.
Because they're all in the jacuzzi together. And they go, Bumper, what about the Nationals?
That was really weird.
I won that shit like 100 times. Who cares?
Yeah, there's like 6 guys in a jacuzzi made for like 3 people. They're like they got to be, that's way too close. Too much close quarters.
Was that Akka word?
That was the Akka word, for sure. Damn.
And I think on the Troublemakers, I think their most valuable player is the Indian guy.
Yeah.
Because he can beatbox and he can rhyme.
Yeah, he can rap.
He adds the music where there is none. Yeah, absolutely. What else?
Becca.
Becca was great. Becca,
the cup song.
All right. Yes. I have problems with Becca as well. there are a lot of things about this movie that when I first saw it, I enjoyed it because I was just like trying to take it in. But the more I started thinking about it, the more I got bothered by things about it. That, like, this, it doesn't make sense. This chick. is hot. She's a very hot chick.
Mm-hmm.
She's a very talented hot chick. She manages to go a month of college without making any friends. I find that very hard to believe.
She didn't want to.
Fine. But in the classes, whatever you're doing, there's going to be some sort of conversation. She's going to want to get some sort of branching outedness, I guess.
No, she didn't. That was the whole thing. That's why her dad, who works at the school, says, look, take a year, try and get involved, make friends, get involved in a group.
That wasn't until later, though.
You still don't like it. But exactly.
That was after the month had passed without any friends.
Even when she went, but all she did was go to class and go back to her room and sit there and do her DJing stuff.
Fine. But I guess the mindset, and I'm trying to put
Not only that, but there is a reference. She didn't even hardly go to class.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. She slept in. The dad woke her up. She's like, what's the point?
Oh, yeah. I'm philosophizing about.
Yeah.
Well, the class will be just as boring if I'm there or not.
Exactly. So, I mean, the reference is there is like, she's not even taking college seriously. She doesn't want to be there.
Okay. And this is, I guess this is hard for me to understand, because if I was a hot chick and I didn't want to be at that college, I would find other ways to entertain myself vis-a-vis getting laid. I can't understand her just being that much of a shut-in. If you have at least the talent and the looks to get you anything you want, then God damn it, take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just sit in the room with your racist Korean friend.
Yes.
Kimmy Jin.
Yeah.
Kimmy Jin.
Yeah.
You're white. You're a white girl.
Where are we on the English? I love that line. I love that line.
Yeah, oh, okay, but she was very hot, and she was there because her dad made her go there.
Exactly.
And he was a teacher there as well. And that was the reason she got into the acapella group at all, was because the dad made a deal with her. Give this a year of actually trying, and if you don't like it, you can go follow your dreams in California.
I do have a confession to make here.
Okay.
I think I watched that a few days ago.
Okay.
Day after I watched it, I had to watch The Breakfast Club. I mean, I've seen it many, many times, but, right. You know, I had to.
Okay. I had the same urge to do it.
Don't you forget about me, okay?
Oh, I wanted to bring that up, too. I think, okay, you were saying that the Troublemakers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I keep wanting to say Here Comes Trouble, because that was the Office group with Andy. Anyway, the reason I think that performance, to me, was more powerful was because of that whole pulling at the heartstrings, that mm-hmm. it's trying to get him back in a way. Where mm-hmm. the girl ends up going through this unbelievably stupid drama with the guy. I want to talk about that as well. Man, now that I'm thinking about it. Holy Christ. There's like a breakup type of thing between him and her, and the way she's trying to get back in his good graces is to play that song, which was important to them at some point throughout the movie. And I think that part, just as soon as they started singing that song, it kind of got me a little bit like, oh. Mm.
Yeah.
That shows that she cares.
Well, something extraordinary because that was a mashup they did that the Bells did at the last act that they did in the Nationals, and they didn't start off with that song.
Right.
They started off with another song, and then Becca came in and started singing that. And if you watch, was it Jesse?
Jesse,
yeah, when you watch his reaction while the Bellas are up there, he's not really even paying any attention. He's just like, you know, yeah, like, whatever.
Scream, man.
And then all of a sudden he hears Becca's voice singing that song,
and he knows.
Yeah. Right? And then slowly but surely his hand goes up to do the fist.
That was awesome,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah. So I think that's why it got to me, and I think it was better. If I went and listened to it objectively, I might agree with you that maybe Troublemakers were better, but they played on my emotions and they got me.
Yeah. Yeah. And it would have been wrong for the movie if they would have had the Troublemakers win.
Do you think if they had Bumper, they still would have won?
Wouldn't have mattered.
No.
It wouldn't have mattered. The set would have been different because the guy wanted to do his magic song so bad that he had to get that in there.
It took me 10 viewings about to figure out, oh, he does magic. He's saying, I got the magic.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I never thought of that. I never put
that
together.
You didn't? I got that the first time.
Yeah, I never thought of that.
That's at the very beginning of the movie when he's trying to get into the group. He tells the guy very awkwardly, I saw you perform this song about magic, and that inspired me to... Wow, and he does some magic trick. Do magic. I'm like, what? A song that's what their performance inspired him to start getting into close-up magic. Seems weird, but they brought it up for a point, and at the end of the movie, it pays off.
Yeah, it took me a while to get that reference, and I was like, oh, I get it now.
Yeah,
he does magic.
Yeah, exactly.
I got the magic in me.
Right.
Okay, I got you.
You got the magic, baby.
All right. One last thing I want to talk about. Then
yes,
you guys Feel free to jump in, by the way.
Oh, no, no, we're jumping
like
in.
I'm yelling too much. No,
I love this movie, so yeah, I really don't care what you say.
The fight that was between Jesse and Becca was so manufactured. It was like they tried to make it so much bigger than it actually needed to be, because they needed something to rift apart about. Something
yes.
To drift apart.
Yes.
But what they chose, it just seemed stupid.
And you called my dad?
Yeah, exactly. She was in trouble. She got arrested. So I'm going to call your dad to bail you out, who has pull around this area because he's part of the college team.
Yeah.
But he's an asshole for doing that? What is wrong with you? It's just, that's what started off the fight? It's like, it was too much. It was too contrived. I understand it, but the formula calls for a fight. But then pick something else. Pick something. Maybe he like punched out the DJ or something mm-hmm. and ruined her job at work or something.
Yeah.
That'd be a legitimate fight. Because he was jealous. Ah, oh, you're too jealous. I can't be the jealous guy. Nah, mm-hmm. You called my dad trying to help me. What's wrong with you?
How dare you try to help me?
Yeah. And then the way that he comes back at her is like, you push everyone away that means something to you. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing to show anything about that in the entire movie.
Yeah.
There's no way that if she pushed him away.
No, you push everybody away who remotely tries to care about you.
Okay. Who cares about her?
He does.
All right. That's not everybody.
His dad.
Right, but the dad's being kind of a dick. That's fine.
He cares about her. Wants to get an education.
I feel like he doesn't know enough about her to make that kind of claim. To say that mm-hmm. with it means something.
Yeah.
They watched movies together. And they worked together.
They didn't even watch a movie together.
Yeah. But he showed her the breakfast club.
The end.
What?
No, they were sitting in her, and he tried to make the move.
Yeah.
She put the cheek of death.
He made her watch the end. She didn't watch the movie because she doesn't.
They watched
watch it again.
No, he's saying the movie is about the end. You can't just watch the end. There's no commitment to it then. That doesn't make sense at all.
Okay, watch the movie again. I could be wrong, but I doubt it.
All right.
The scene before she gets arrested, I love those older a cappella guys. That song they did.
Oh, okay.
And it has, who's the guy from Scrubs?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Yeah.
I loved his part of the a cappella group where he's like, blah, 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 blah.
That was a caricature. That was great. The whole scene was just like, they were like making fun of themselves in the movie, which I appreciated.
Yeah.
And they go, look, we might have graduated a couple years ahead of you. A couple years. That guy, one of the guys was rocking gray hair. The other one had a big bald spot on the top of his head.
I thought that guy was Ron Jeremy for a long time.
I
thought it was him.
I thought so, too.
Like, is that Ron Jeremy?
He was their lead singer. Like, he was pretty good, too. He's like, let me see that booty work. Booty work.
It was very weird. It was a weird scene. Another thing that was kind of forced, the whole fight and everything. It was like, wow. I thought they were going to do like a sing-off. That's what I
like
thought.
Like another riff-off sort
of. Like, you want to go down? Let's do it. And they start singing. But no, they start punching each other. Ah, this whole thing is about singing. Why are you going to go to punches?
Yeah.
Everybody loves fighting.
Yeah.
Why don't you like this movie? There was fighting in it.
That's not even... No.
Not fighting. Not fighting.
Acapella was fighting is fighting? No.
It was acca. Fighting.
Outrageous. See? I took out the out.
Acca. Outrageous.
It makes more sense to combine it that way.
It was acca outrageous.
What was your favorite song that they sang? Or what was your favorite performance of all of them?
I don't.
I really like those Black Kids. The one who did the Jackson 5 song.
My
baby's always dancing.
Yeah.
And I loved her comment after, like, ooh, that little peanut can sing. Sounds like his boys haven't dropped yet, Gail.
I can't pick.
That's hard.
A single song. I mean, I'll be quite honest with you. I was pretty intrigued by the cup song.
Mm-hmm.
That was just so awesome.
That's the most famous scene in the movie.
Exactly, because that song's on the radio, stuff mm-hmm. like that. And I've heard that song on the radio many times before I've seen the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that's just amazing. I mean, that's kind of, it was really cool. And it wasn't a long song, but it hit really hard. You're going to miss me when I'm gone.
Yeah.
You know.
There was a lot of good stuff. I think they had Adele in it. I think I enjoyed that one. I can't remember it now. I remember hearing it and getting the goose pimples on my arms. I was like, oh.
I'll tell you where in the movie where I was, and I'm glad it didn't do this because when I saw a certain character, not that I don't like this guy, this actor, but when McLovin came up, I was thinking the movie was going to come down mm-hmm. right then.
Yeah.
But he had such a small little part in that movie that it didn't bother me.
It should have been smaller.
Yeah, I like right then. It's like John dies at the end, where, you know, what killed it for you was the penis doorknob, you know?
Yeah.
That to me felt like that was going to be the penis doorknob in this movie, you know? So now, from now on spoilers, the downfall to a movie is going to be referred to as the penis doorknob. All right. What was the penis doorknob in this movie to you?
All right.
That I thought was going to be it, but it ended up not because it was such a small, short segment.
All right.
I didn't have a penis doorknob in this movie.
And then Adam didn't have a turnoff moment. This is interesting.
He had a possible penis doorknob movie.
This is a first on spoilers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did enjoy the movie quite a bit. I'm a big fan for musicals, any kind of that genre. I think me and Cowboy.
Would you consider this a musical though?
I would.
I would.
Really?
I would.
Not in the traditional sense.
Not in the Les Mis sense where every dialogue is sung, but in the Grease or the Singing in the Rain sense where there's dialogue in between songs, absolutely, I would consider it a musical.
Yeah, well, now that I'm thinking about it, it probably can't consider it a musical because the music, the stuff that they were singing was intentional. Whereas in most musicals,
it relates to the scene.
It kind of carries the scene
like
along.
Like the street rat, riff raff, I don't buy that.
It's not a musical. That's a freaking animated
song. I know, but it, like that song relates to the plot of the story. Like it relates to the actions of the scenes.
It moves things along in a way that relates directly to the storyline. Although I guess this.
Well, then I guess now that you bring that up, it's kind of hard, you know, because some of the songs do kind of relate in a way.
I guess, but, oh, oof. Wow. That's deep.
Yeah.
Would you consider this a musical, Hollywood?
No.
No?
No.
Because when I think of musical, I think of like West Side Story. I think of what you said.
Right.
Where the music tells Sweeney a Todd. Story that moves the story forward.
Phantom of the Opera.
This doesn't do it. It's just performances.
Now, thinking about it that way, yeah, I would have to not classify it as a musical, but I want it to be classified as a musical.
On IMDb.
I love the soundtrack.
Yeah.
On IMDb, it's listed as a comedy.
Comedy. Interesting.
Well, I mean, it is funny. Yeah,
I guess. It's not a drama. It's not an action.
Well, exactly. But what kind of genre is like...
This is what they call a tweener.
Oh, it's comedy romance.
There you go.
Okay. Yeah.
It's rom-com.
Yeah, okay. But what would be the classification of a movie like Stomp the Yard or Drumline and stuff? Because
it's probably the same thing. It's probably also rom-com.
Yeah, because it is that... I guess it's not necessarily the genre type of movie. It's rom-com.
It's drama romance.
So it's a drom-com.
Drum-rom.
A drum-rom. But, you know, it's got that premise of the feel-good, you know, group, person. They get back together or happy feelings in the end, and that group wins type thing.
Okay.
They conquer.
I didn't like how the movie just ends so abruptly where it's like, all right, nerds. You're going to sing, and it's just, dun, 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 and it jumps to the EDM.
I wanted to know what song they chose.
I wanted one more hit.
Yeah.
One more hit off of the mashups.
Yeah.
Or one more hit.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
And to get more songs.
But I guess that's a good thing for a movie to leave you wanting more.
Yeah.
There's going to be a sequel, I hope.
Here's what I'm scared of for the sequel. I'm scared of that in the sequel, they're going to give Rebel Wilson too much screen time. Because she works in small doses, Fat Amy. She works in small doses. She's like Galifianakis.
Yes.
She works in small doses. I'm scared that she's getting such a big reaction from people.
Yeah.
Then the sequel, we need to give her more scenes. That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah.
A lot of movies have that downfall. Hangover.
Yeah. Hangover. Didn't they do the same thing?
Same thing with the Asian guy, Chang.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did that with Community also. Community had Chang also in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like a little funny guy. And then they gave him like a whole storyline. Like,
He was the comic relief in it.
Exactly.
And
not the lead.
Fat Amy, Fat Patricia was the comic relief that you needed to break up certain types of scenes, you know?
You can't do a whole movie around that.
No.
Then it becomes like a Sandler type movie where it's just a bunch of stupid. Like you're trying too hard to be funny all the time. Just to have a friggin' story. Make some goddamn sense.
Okay.
Sorry. The one thing I don't like about Sandler movies is how he talks. He's like, yeah, buddy. Or when he says like buddy or pal to people.
Mm-mm.
He's like, good job, pal.
Yeah. It's cartoony when he's
there.
Yeah.
I would say the earlier ones, the thing I like about Sandler movies
mostly is Sandler. All right. That's all I want to say. Oh, one more thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
There's a shower scene in this movie.
Oh. Where they sing Titanium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A great song.
Uh-huh.
Incredibly awkward. I cannot imagine that happening in real life also. Where the girl, the main DJ person, Becca, she's going to take a shower by mm-hmm. herself innocently, and then she's singing to herself and she sounds amazing. And then the redhead chick, which
Ginger.
did amazingly for me. She just pops in the shower all nude and like, hey,
you can sing.
Hey, you can sing.
You can sing. I'm not leaving until you sing. I am comfortable with my body.
Yeah. It just, that whole scene was very weird.
It was very weird, but you got to admit the way they harmonized together and they sang.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. It was phenomenal.
Yes.
And absolutely. I hope that's on the soundtrack.
It's not.
It's not. Oh.
I don't want the soundtrack. No, I'm just kidding. No, but that was amazing.
I'll add it myself to the soundtrack. Okay. I'll do some clipping. All right. I'll put it in there.
All right. Fantastic.
And then a dude comes in. Is this a co-ed shower? I don't understand
no.
that part. It was very weird. Was he screwing the chick on the side?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what it's supposed to be. Because the camera is at a low angle, and then you see two sets of feet
in when the shower. Walk in.
Yeah.
When Becca when walks in.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, there were two sets of feet in her shower. Yeah. But
I was looking at the feet in the shower scene, guys.
When they were doing the, when they were doing, at that point, Becca was still clothed.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Once she took her robe off, I wasn't thinking of the feet.
Oh, there. But I don't mean to cut you off, Kelly. Continue.
No, go ahead. Cut me off. I will keep my point. Don't worry. Go for it.
Oh, okay. There's one joke that I really thought this was going to be the joke. Where she first arrives and they're like, and here's your official rape whistle. Only use it when you're being raped.
Right.
And she put the thing in her mouth and I thought she was actually going to blow it.
Okay.
Because that tour guide kept bothering her.
Yeah.
So she just stuck it in her mouth and just walked away. I was like, that was a missed opportunity.
It was. It really was. There's a lot of things like that that like explain, but then not alluded to. Nothing happens ever again. Kind of like what we were talking about, in They Live, where Roddy Piper pulls out a gun from nowhere. Should have been explained. And this was the opposite occasion. It was explained, but then nothing happened.
But there was no payoff.
Yeah. All right.
I'm sorry, Coward. Continue.
No, so anyway, in the scene, the vomit scene where they finally get all together, Christ Becca almighty. Comes back, you know, stuff like that. And they're like, you know what? We should learn about each other and we should go around and tell something to everybody about ourselves. That tall girl that says she likes to have
one?
A lot of sex.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. She's hot too.
That was a very necessary role in the movie, just because.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I love the whole comment, you know, that you know when the black girl, I can't remember her name,
mm-hmm.
gets up and Fat Amy is like, oh, here we go. She's going to tell us that's something we already know. Blah blah blah. She's like, oh,
let's be honest.
Yeah, let's be honest. Let's be honest. You know, that was phenomenal. And she's like, oh, I had. A gambling problem.
And they're like,
for
what?
2 years. And they're like, what? That's not what we were expecting. She's like, after I broke up with my girlfriend, and she's like,
no, she goes, whoop, there it is.
But even that, they teased that earlier and then paid it off because they showed her gambling at some point.
Yeah. When they were all broken up, when they went their separate ways.
Yeah, she got the call. She was gambling.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I'm all in, bitches. Or I like the line where she's like, you know, 10 girls on a team. One of us is bound to be a lesbian. My money's on Black Beauty over there.
And then
there were a lot of good one-liners.
Yeah, there was
like,
a lot of them.
Good quip. There was one Becca said where the redhead goes up to her and she's like, I'm going to go get my jiggle juice. And then she goes, make good choices. She's walking away. Like, everyone had solid lines.
The writing was good. The writing was good as far as those lines. Mm-hmm. I feel like those were... probably a comedians that came in later to punch up the script type of thing. Because there was also a lot of like, why'd you do that?
Yeah.
So I don't know. Overall, I liked it, but.
Yeah.
What do the charts say?
Want to get a Rotten Tomatoes?
Let's jump into it.
Okay. Rotten Tomatoes. This is the part of the show where I make the guys guess what the score is on Rotten Tomatoes. What do you want to do first? The users or the critics?
Well, first, what's your score?
Oh yeah, that's
Cowboy?
True. Let's do your own private personal.
I'm part and partial to this movie, to be quite honest with you.
This is gonna be tough.
I loved it. I don't hate to say it, but I loved this movie. The one-liners, the songs, and I usually generally don't like the feel-good person gets it at the end. Blah blah blah.
Right.
I knew this was gonna be that type of movie going into it though. So.
Of course.
But I really was pulling for Becca and all that, you know. I found myself. not the whole love story about that.
Oh.
I was pulling for the Bellas, you know. I was pulling for that stupid blonde bitch to finally give the freaking tone whistle up to Becca, and
which
stop
was
being
covered
such
in vomit
douche.
As well at one point in the movie.
Yes. It was cleaned before she blew it on stage.
What was that?
Huh? Exactly. So, I'm actually going to go high. I'm going to go 92.
That's your personal score?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give it, for me, I'll give it a 71.
What? The one movie where there was no turnoff moments?
Yeah, well, because there were still things that irked me about it.
Oh, I mean, we got to go back. What, never mind. Okay, go ahead.
The music was amazing. The comedy was fine, but there was still that Asian chick bothered me. The roommate bothered me.
I thought the
breakup thing bothered me. The vomit bothered me.
I understand your whole premise of like, what's the point of she getting us? But you got to admit that Asian chick barely talking like was funny.
No, it bothered me. It bugged me. It was way too much.
It made no sense why she was on it. That's what made it so funny.
Thank you. It made no sense.
That's why it was so funny.
No, that's why it made no sense.
What the hell?
It made no sense.
My personal score? All right. You guys might have noticed I've been quiet during this episode.
Okay.
It's because you two have seen it for the first time, and I just want to get – I've seen this movie so many times. I've told people – what I needed to say, I just wanted to absorb and hear what you had to say.
All right. Well, what do you got to say though? Because for the listeners that haven't heard your opinion yet,
I really like this movie. There's a reason I've seen this movie so many times. Actually,
all right.
I've seen this movie over 10 times. There's a reason why. All right. The first time I ever saw it, my little niece, my favorite niece, she really likes this movie. So her and her mom, my cousin, went to go visit them, and she says, "Theo Mac, can we watch Pitch Perfect?" I go, "Sure." I never saw it. We played it. I loved it. So then when I went back again, she's like, "Can we watch Pitch Perfect again?" I'm like, "Yeah, sure. I really liked it. Let's watch it again." So as I would go, she would just play Pitch Perfect. And we're in this vicious cycle where she thinks I really love the movie, so she wants to play it. But I don't want to tell her no. So we're just in this vicious cycle of constantly watching Pitch Perfect. But I really like it because of the music and the performances and everything.
Yes.
And I don't know. This is just a movie. A big thing about movies for me is rewatchability. If it's a movie that has a high like rewatchability factor, I'm down to watch it all the time. Like Big Trouble in Little China, love that movie because it's a high rewatchability. It has high rewatchability to it. This movie, I can throw it on doing anything. I have this movie saved on my phone. Like I'll be waiting in line at the bank and I'll just watch scenes. Like it's because it has such a high rewatchability. I keep burning this phrase to the ground.
Right.
I just really like this movie.
Okay.
And I just wanted to hear your guys' opinion on it.
All right. So was I too harsh on your movie? Your golden movie?
No. All
right.
96.
96. Wow.
That's my personal score.
Damn.
I fucking love this movie.
I feel like that's higher than what you gave your boy.
Tango Cash?
Yeah. Your boy Russell.
Yes.
Wow. Interesting.
Well, Tango Cash isn't a good movie. It's fun.
Okay.
This is a good movie. That's also fun.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
So guys, the Rotten Tomato scores, do you want to guess the critics or the users first?
Let's go with the critics first.
Okay. What are your guesses?
I feel like I'm going to go with the critics towards where I am. I said 71. I'll say that they're more generous than I am. Nope, less. I'm going to go 67.
67?
For the critics.
Cowboy?
I'm actually going to go opposite of you. I'm going to say about 78.
81.
Wow.
Certified fresh.
By the critics.
Wow.
Nice.
So, okay. So what do you think the users think of this one?
I'm going to go first on this one. I'm going to say about 95.
Okay.
You're probably right. Because nobody's as picky as I am with this kind of movie. Any movie, really, in general. I want to go that high. I'll say 82-ish, 82.5.
83%.
Wow!
Whoa! Nice.
Oh, that was loud. I apologize.
So actually, is this the first time in any of the movies that we've done where the critics and the users are
similar?
That's similar.
Jurassic Park, our first episode, Jurassic Park, it was... I think exactly even.
Really?
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
But we've been doing bad movies, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the scores are pretty low.
Yeah. Is this the highest one we've done so far?
Yes, this is the high. Wow. Wait, I think Jurassic Park
was the highest. Higher.
Okay. Interesting.
I found trivia about this movie.
Oh, yes. Let's share. Please do.
During the riff off, Esther Dean, who's the Black Beauty, sings S&M with the Tall Slutty Girl. She co-wrote that song with Rihanna.
Whoa.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That
awesome.
Very cool.
Brittany Snow said that Rebel Wilson improvised mostly all of her lines and would go on 20-minute tangents that would have that had the whole cast and crew in stitches.
Oh, I can
and you
see
can totally
that
tell her lines were improv. Like, yeah,
I can see that happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's the type that you just like put the camera on and just go. Do your thing.
Yeah.
The role of Gail, the female commentator, was originally written for Kristen Wiig, but she declined due to scheduling conflicts. Elizabeth Banks, who was one of the film's producers, took her role instead.
Okay.
Okay. She played it very well.
Yeah. I feel if Chris Wiig was in there, it would have been the same type of character.
Yeah. Interchangeable.
Yeah.
At one point, while Becca is attending the activities fair and checking out the booth for the DJs, the Deaf Jews,
right,
a spirited game of Quidditch from the Harry Potter books can be seen going on in the background, including players straddling broomsticks and one player shouting, "Throw me the quaffle." Apparently, simulated Quidditch games have been enacted on a number of university campuses in recent years.
I've heard about that.
I never even realized
this. Yeah, I've heard it. I've heard about it.
I saw the internship like last week with where they Owen Wilson and Vince Vaughn.
Oh, why did I think Williams?
Where they try to get the internship at Google. They play a game of Quidditch, and I've never seen a Harry Potter movie. So when I'm watching this movie, this movie, they come out with brooms. I'm like, what the fuck are they doing? So my cousin had to explain to me, oh, it's called Quidditch. I go, the hell's that? But anyway.
Yeah. No Harry Potter, huh?
No.
You know, it's better now because for me, I abstained from Harry Potter for the longest time. And then finally one day I decided I'm going to watch them all.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you watch them back to back, it's fine. If he would have started when it started, then after the first movie, done.
Yeah.
Out. Turn off moment. Over. Gone. But after powering through it and then watching them all, I was like, all right, not bad.
I think we had a discussion about this one time.
Did we?
The movies are just like the books. The way the books were written, the first one is kind of more childish, childlike.
You're right.
Because it catered to...
Well, they were freaking children.
Exactly. Yeah. But and as she wrote the books, there's what, 9 of them or 7 of them or something like that?
As she wrote the books,
the people that read the first one, well, now they're about like 10 or 11 years older. She had to get more dark
That. It got real dark towards the end.
And so she evolutionized the books.
Yeah.
And so the movies did the same thing.
True. Good point.
So those were our opinions. Like I said in the top of the show, we have lots of them, but we don't have credentials.
Right.
Now let's hear from people who have credentials. Do you guys want to hear the good reviews or the bad reviews first?
Let's start with the bad.
Okay.
Because I want to end on a high note.
Okay. So Stephen Whitty of the Newark Star-Ledger says, "What we have here is a not very funny college comedy for tweens, full of unappealing characters. And although the musical arrangements are fun, there is some truly unimaginative choreography."
All right. I kind of agree with that for a little bit.
Emma Dibden of Digital Spy says, "As far as the so-called humor goes, we're operating on a sliding scale from lazy to downright offensive." How's it offensive?
Yeah.
Offensive are like those stupid like parody movies like the
Scary Movies 3.
Yeah.
The Vomit Angel offended me. That was offensive to me. I did not like that at all.
Okay.
Well, not offended me, but I just like, come on, try harder.
It grossed you out.
Yeah. It was easy comedy.
Yeah.
Okay. Good
it
reviews.
It was kicking the balls. Like, oh, it's always funny, but come on, step your game up.
Time for the good reviews. Laura Beck of the Village Voice says, "The girls, for the most part, are generally funny, weird, real, and most excitingly, confident." Richard Roper of RichardRoper.com says, "This is one of the strangest and also one of the more entertaining movies of the year."
Okay.
All right.
And Matt Neal of The Standard says, "On paper, this all looks oh-so High School Musical, the college years. But the beauty of Pitch Perfect is the way that it turns its formulaic moments into unexpected hilarity."
Well, and I understand on paper how you could see that, but I have a daughter who was into the High School Musical, and to be quite honest with you, I understand now how you classify musical versus a
Pitch
comedy
Perfect.
Drama,
right.
Because I had watched High School Musical with my daughter, and they sing what's going
part
on.
Part of the story.
Like what Glee does also.
Exactly, but Glee uses real songs.
Right.
And that match what's going on in the episode.
Pretty damn
Exactly. But
I watch Glee.
Like I said, in High School Musical though, they're singing about what's going on. The song is telling about what's going on and stuff like that. So, I get what you're talking about, the genre. So yeah, I would not consider, this a musical now. And I think that's where this person, this, who was the last review
What's their name?
The last review.
Matt Neal, The Standard?
Yeah, I think that's where they understood this, because if you were to read this on a script and not actually see it, you would think High School Musical, I would think.
Well, that's the show, guys. Adam, let the audience know about suggestions.
Oh, yes, if you want to email us, tell us your opinions, call me an asshole for yelling too much, or anything else, it is spoilers.
Asshole.
At rabhagpodcast.com.
Sorry, I had to call you.
Yeah, sans asshole.
And if you want us to watch any movie, send us a
request. Yeah.
Try not to make it a Sandler movie.
Please. Well, that might be interesting.
Yeah, that might be interesting, because it might just be us ripping you apart.
Yes.
But, I think I might actually have to play devil's advocate on that one, or the opposite for you.
But yeah, for now, we're going to leave the next movie up for grabs. Yes. Send your emails, and we'll decide from there.
And we don't know what the next one will be yet.
Yeah.
So it'll be a surprise. It'll be Akka awesome.
Akka amazing.
All right, guys, this is Hollywood.
I'm Akka Fury.
And I'm Akka out.
Peace. Love to hear it. I'm